So we've been doing a series from the book of Ruth, and as we continue today, we're going to look at the Old Testament principle called gleaning. We will see how and where Ruth gleans. Gleaning is not a word that you hear very often nowadays. How many heard the word gleaning in the last week? Wow, some did. That's great. It's not a word that we talk about. But let me share the Old Testament principle and what gleaning actually means, especially in connection with the Old Testament. We read in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22, "When you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your field. Do not pick up what the harvesters drop. Leave it for the poor, the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God." This didn't just apply to the grain fields, that they couldn't harvest to the very edges of the grain fields, but it also applied to the vineyards and to the olive groves. So when the harvesters harvested, they would harvest, but they could only go through the fields or through the vineyard or through the olive grove once. They couldn't go back a second time to pick up what they missed. And they weren't supposed to harvest all the way out to the edges of the field. That was to be left for the poor, for the widows, and the foreigners. They were supposed to be able to go behind the harvesters and pick up at the edges of the field or whatever the harvesters had left. It'd be like going down to Jewel's Orchard, and as they've harvested all the peaches, you would come back. And they couldn't come back, and if there was some extra peaches, you could harvest those. It was similar to doing that. And that was what they called gleaning. The dictionary describes gleaning as collecting with patient effort. And you can understand why they talk about in the dictionary with patient effort is because the owners of the field would want the harvesters to harvest as much as possible. You don't want to leave a bunch out there because that is your bread and butter. That's your money. And so the gleaners, when they came in, there wasn't really a lot left for them to harvest. They could go out to the edge of the fields. It was sparse out there. The harvester might drop something, but not very often. And there wasn't a lot. So they gleaned, collected with patient effort. Now that we know what gleaning is, let's turn to Ruth chapter 2. Last week we left Naomi and Ruth. They were just heading off on a 50-mile trek back to Judah, back to Bethlehem. Orpah had decided that she would stay in Moab because it was a lot easier than going on that 50-mile trek and living in a foreign land. Now Naomi and Ruth had headed back, and Ruth had said that she was going to go wherever Naomi went. Your land will be my land. Your people will be my people. Your gods will be my gods. And it will be that way until death separates us. Ruth had made a commitment, and she was heading back on the journey with Naomi. Ruth 1:22, the last verse in the chapter, in chapter 1, declares, "So Naomi returned to Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning." The two of them had made the 50-mile trek by themselves, safe and sound, and they made it to Bethlehem, Judah. But when they arrived back, they were broke. They had nothing, no food. Naomi and Ruth knew that they were poor, and the only way that they were going to eat was to glean. They had no one to provide for them. Their husbands had passed on, and now they were in Bethlehem, in Judah, with nothing. You know, in a sense, we are like Ruth and Naomi. They were poor and needed physical nourishment daily. We, for the most part, are poor and needy and need spiritual nourishment daily. Jesus declared in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. And he's talking to the church here. He's not talking to somebody outside the church, but he's writing to the church, and he says, "You say I am rich. I have everything I need or I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You are poor. You are spiritually poor," Jesus is saying, "and you need more. As Naomi and Ruth had to glean physical food to survive, we as Christians need to glean spiritual food on a daily basis to survive." I think we can learn how and where to glean from Ruth. See, first of all, we see that Ruth takes the initiative to glean. Listen to chapter 2, verse 2 of Ruth. "And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor.' Naomi said to her, 'Go ahead, my daughter.'" Ruth has obviously seen the need for food and takes the initiative to provide food for herself and for Naomi. She comes to Naomi and says, "Let me go." She doesn't sit around and say, "Well, I hope somebody comes around and brings us some food." I find it kind of interesting. It doesn't take me long to realize that it's past lunchtime. My stomach will tell me it's 12:02. Where is lunch? And I have to admit, I don't always take the initiative to get the lunch. My wife usually provides it. But if my wife's not around and it's 12:02 and my stomach's telling me I'm hungry, I'll take the initiative and I'll make myself a sandwich or get some food. And if I don't, it's not long before I'm really hungry. In fact, I think I'm starving to death. It's now 12:30. I'm going to die. But truthfully and honestly, the longer we don't eat, the less energy we have and the less strength we have. And our immune system starts to shut down, and our physical bodies and emotional systems all start to change. We become susceptible to all sorts of problems if we don't eat. Don't eat for 40 days. Have you tried it? Your body works and you can do it, but things are not the same as they usually are. So when I start to get hungry, it doesn't take me long to find the food that I need. I'm starving to death. I need food. Yet what about spiritually? Do we see our need to be nourished spiritually as much as we see our need for physical food? I mean, I'll tell you, none of you look like you're underfed here. You all look just fine, but do we realize how much we need the spiritual food? We become weak and vulnerable to the things of the world, which try to start to creep into our lives if we don't eat spiritually. I mean, if I don't eat spiritually, things start creeping in. I mean, gossip might start to come in. Unforgiveness might start to creep into my life. Maybe foul language. Maybe judging other people. But if we don't eat and feed ourselves spiritually, things start to creep in. Oh, but the Christian world, they all eat spiritually, right? We all feed ourselves. In 2015, a survey of the Protestant churchgoers, now these are churchgoers, people who go to church, but just the Protestant faith, there was a survey. I combined some of those things, but this is an interesting stats. So 19% only read their Bibles every day. 23%, so that's that 10 and the 13 up there in the top right-hand corner. 23%, a few sentences. 10% have never read any of the Bible. 30% have read several passages, maybe a few of the stories in the Bible. 15% have read at least half of the Bible. 12% have read almost all of it. 11% have read all of it. And 9% have read it, the entire Bible, more than once. Are we feeding ourselves? Do we really see the need for spiritual food as Christians? Did you notice in the verse we just read in Ruth, and Ruth asked Naomi if she could go and glean. She took the initiative. Can I go and glean? Do you know no one's going to force feed us spiritually? No one's going to come on Monday morning, tomorrow morning, and say, here's the Bible, and you need to read it. Well, maybe your spouse might. Nope. We need to take the initiative. We need to grab the Word of God, and we need to start reading it on a daily basis ourselves. We need to read the Bible. We need to pray. We need to connect with other believers. We need to be in church. We need to worship. But we need to be the ones that take the initiative. Nobody's going to force us. We need to glean as one starving and about to die spiritually. Ruth not only recognized her need to take and took the initiative to glean, but she put some action to it all and diligently gleaned. Listen to Ruth chapter 2, verses 3 and 7. So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. She went into the fields and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for some short breaks in the shelter. You know, I'm just going to sidetrack here for a bit, but God's providence is here. She winds up in the field of Boaz. I mean, she doesn't know who Boaz is. She doesn't realize that Boaz is a relative of Naomi's, but God knew. God knew that he was a redeemer for their family, and God made sure that Ruth was gleaning in the field of Boaz. And that's got nothing to do with our sermon, but it's pretty interesting that you, as you read through the book of Ruth, you will see God's providence throughout it all. So Ruth's actions were not just helter-skelter. I mean, she gleans in the hot sun. She doesn't go, oh, well, it's too hard out there. It's too hot out there today. I'm not working. No. She took the initiative, and she said, I'm going to glean. She works hard. She doesn't take more breaks than she works. She works way more than she breaks. She takes short breaks once in a while. We might recognize our need for spiritual feeding. And we might even know what we need to do. But if we don't take the actions, we just slip further back. We might know we need to read our Bible. But if we don't do it, we don't glean from it. We might know we need to fellowship with Christians. But if we don't do it, we don't glean from those Christians. We might know we need to pray, but if we don't take time to pray, we don't glean. See, Ruth knew that gleaning was hard work. We need to know that gleaning spiritually is hard work, but if we don't glean, we'll grow weaker. It takes determination and discipline. When we glean spiritually, we need to do it steadily. I'm not saying we need to read our Bibles 24/7 or we need to glean 24/7, but in another way, I'm saying that we do. It needs to be something of a lifestyle. It can't be just something that we'll do now and then and again. It needs to be a lifestyle that happens on a continuous basis. We need to be doing it regularly, that when our routine is interrupted for some reason, we think that we're going to starve to death spiritually. We think, oh no, what's going to happen? It's going to be like, oh, I didn't read my Bible today. Like it just comes with you. It's something that you do naturally. And you know, as hard work as it is, the more we do it, the easier it becomes. Let me share a story or some illustrations. If you want to play the piano, you need to start small. You need to start by playing Jingle Bells. And I can punk out those ding, 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 ding. Maybe not on key, but I can find some notes there that I can do that. But if I really want to play Beethoven, I've got to practice, I've got to glean from a piano teacher and learn how to play more than ding, 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 something like that. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Sarah went into a weightlifting, a bodybuilding competition. She didn't start out lifting the heaviest weights that were in the gym, but she started out lifting and doing exercises that she could do for her fitness at that time. And she got a trainer. And the trainer said, you need to do this and this and this. And I saw Sarah and she said to me, the trainer is pushing me to lift heavy weights. And she did it. But it was a gradual process over 4 months. She continually weightlifted and did cardio. And she did really good. But it's not something that we just start at the top. And it's same with our spiritual lives. We need to glean, and we start gleaning small bits. And then we glean more and glean more. And we glean until the job is done. See, Ruth gleaned steadily, but she didn't stop gleaning until the job was done. In Ruth chapter 2, 21, it says, then Ruth the Moabitess said, he even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all the grain. We need to stay harvesting. We need to stay gleaning until the end comes. We've never gleaned enough. It doesn't matter if you're one of those people that have gleaned and read the Bible more than one time in your life. There's still more to read. If you've gleaned 100 times and you've read the Bible 100 times in your life, you need to read it 101 because there is more to glean. God's word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. It changes. The Spirit uses it all the time. And we can read something once or twice or 3 or 4 times. And the 5th time when we read it, all of a sudden God speaks to us and just highlights that section of the word, and it just comes so real to us for that time. The Holy Spirit uses it. We need to glean spiritually all the days of our lives. We need to glean until the end, until we are with Jesus. So where did Ruth glean? Well, listen to this verse. These verses in Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we read, so Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Do not glean in another field and do not go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, Go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. And then in verse 22, the last half, it says, in someone else's field, you might be harmed. And verses 15 and 16 say, as she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some of the stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up. And don't rebuke her. Don't embarrass her. Don't rebuke her. The sheaves that you've gathered and you've tied together, if she takes some of the grain from there, don't worry about it. Don't embarrass her. See, gleaners were poor and they were often mistreated and taken advantage of by the workers and the landowners. And as a woman from Moab, there was even more chance for this for Ruth. Because it was time to harvest the barley, there were probably many fields which Ruth could have wound up harvesting in. But we talked about the providence of God, and we read Ruth gleans in the relative's field, in Boaz's field, where it's safe. It's a safe place. We think that gleaning is an unimportant thing and it's only something from the past and that it doesn't really apply to us. But I'll tell you, we glean every single day. We glean from different fields as our minds and spirits think about them. Whether we realize it or not, we pick up things all the time. We pick up things that we hear, we see, or we read. Think of the many fields we glean from out there in our daily lives. There's the TV. How much do we pick up from the TV? How much do we glean from the TV? There's the internet. How much do we learn from the internet? How about the social media such as Facebook and Twitter and all the other social media that there is out there? Or how about the good old books that we read and magazines that we read? What about just having conversations with other people? Fellowship. What do we glean when we're just talking with other people? Whether they're people from the church or whether they're people in the supermarket or people at work. What about talking with family and friends or just watching family and friends? What about the Bible, the church, school, work, false religions? See, we're gleaning all the time. We're always picking up things. So I'm not saying that those fields are 100% good or 100% bad. What I'm saying is that we're gleaning in fields, and we need to glean safely in safe fields for the most part. We need to be careful. There are fields out there that we can be harmed in. Those landowners of those fields don't really care what we glean. From the field of the Bible, we can gather spiritual nourishment we need to survive. Gleaning in God's Word may not always be the easiest choice, but it will take some work on our part. But once we have found the safe field, which the Bible is 100% safe, we need to stay there and glean there as much as we can. And then all the other fields we glean in, we need to glean and filter it through the Bible. That's why we need to glean mostly in the field of the Bible, because everything else needs to be filtered through there. We will find an endless supply of food for our souls from the Bible. So we've seen how and where Ruth is gleaned. And to sum it up, Ruth took the initiative and gleaned diligently and safely. It paid huge dividends for her. Huge dividends. Ruth was well looked after while gleaning. There was always water and shelter for her in the heat of the day. Ruth initially thought she would be gleaning the leftovers, but in the end, she received some of the choicest barley as the harvesters left some for her. She wound up with an abundance from the gleaning. She had more than she needed. If we will take the initiative to glean diligently and safely in spiritual fields for spiritual food from God's Word, we will be rewarded for our work. He leaves all sorts of nuggets for us to pick up so we can live as part of His family. But it's not enough for us to simply get filled with God's Word. It's not enough just to keep taking it in and taking it in. Because God will give us an abundance when we glean from His Word. And we need to share that gleaning with others. That's what Ruth did. Ruth gleaned all that barley and she took it home to her mother-in-law and shared it with her. We need to glean so we have an abundance so we can share it with others. Whether it's somebody at the gas station, somebody in our school, somebody at our workplace, somebody in our family, but we need to share it with others. My question is for each of us today, where are we gleaning? Are we gleaning from the Bible so we will grow and have an abundance to share with others? If you're not sure of where to start gleaning, I'd suggest you go home today and read the 85 verses that are in the book of Ruth. Just take some time, 4 little chapters, and start to glean and start to see God's goodness, His faithfulness, His kindness, His providence. It's all there in the book of Ruth. Just read and take some time and ask God, what would you have me glean from here? God, what do you want to show me? The important thing is that we start and continue to glean. And we can start today if we haven't been. But we need to continue as a body of believers to glean so we can stand strong for Him.